Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you. I hope that you're having a wonderful day. It's a very pretty day here. It's a little bit cloudy. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, but the temperatures are nice and warm. I started to film this outside, but my rocking chair outside is covered with pollen. I haven't had a chance to clean it off and didn't want to get up and be yellow on my clothes as I went away and did other things. But it's good to be with you. I hope that you have been looking forward to this time as I have. This time is always a blessing for me. It helps me in my walk and relationship with the Lord. I trust that it's a blessing for you and that it helps you in your walk. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. And again, we're here more than to meet with our Lord. And so let's take a moment to turn it to Him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the day that you have given to us. Lord, the first signs, the first evidences, oh God, of spring, of things turning green. Lord, watching birds start to build nests. Father, we just thank you, Lord, how it testifies of your sovereignty, your goodness. Lord, just the wonder of your creation. Lord, the glory of who you are. Father, thank you, oh God, that you want us to know you. You created us for that purpose. Father, through redemption, you brought us back to that purpose. Father, you adopt us as your children, and you want us to know you. And fathers, we're here today. That is our whole purpose. We want to grow in you. We want to walk with you. We want to know you. We want to be close to you. Father, use your word today for that purpose. Open our eyes. Give us understanding. Through that understanding, oh God, give us a heart knowledge of you. Help us, O Lord, know how to walk, how to live in a way that we can experience you and be near to you. Father, speak, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we open our Lord's word, and we open it to Ephesians chapter 5, and we look at verses 15 through 16. We see a powerful commentary of these times in which we live. You think what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write in these verses. Again, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 16, where it says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, for the days are evil." The Spirit clearly refers to these days in which we live as evil. And we certainly see that. We certainly, every day, as we keep up with the news, as we watch what's taking place around us, we're struck always more and deeper with just how evil these days are. The moral standards, if you want to call it that, of these days, the indoctrination that we see being thrown upon even the youngest and least knowing of our population, the youngest of children. When we think of the lies and the manipulation and the sheer propaganda that is put out by the media, by the government, by those who are behind the media and government, there's no other way to look at these times as anything other than truly evil. These are evil days that passage speaks of, and quite frankly, they're getting worse. And unless there's a revival, they will in fact get worse yet. And yet the verse there tells us that we need to make the most of our time. We need to live for the Lord. Well, how do we do that? How do we make the most of our time in such evil days? And that's exactly what we see as we open God's Word and we turn to Psalm 26. It's in fact a Psalm of David. And we see how David lived his life and the priorities that we should have. And as we look at this psalm, as we see how David lived, we see some key priorities that we need to develop, that we need to follow. And so think with me, we'll go ahead and read through the psalm to begin with, and then we'll go back and we'll look at these characteristics, these qualities. But in Psalm 26, beginning in verse 1, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I've trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and declare all of your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations, I shall bless the Lord. Look at the qualities that we see that David lived his life by, the characteristics of his life. It's these same characteristics that we need to develop within our own life and that we need to live by in these evil days. As we look at this psalm, the first characteristic we see is the characteristic of devotion, meaning that we love the Lord and that we live for Him. We realize that we are His, and we want to live for Him, be close to Him, and live in a way that pleases Him. And it's amazing how we see this, both without, and think about what we see again in verse 1, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I've trusted in the Lord without wavering." What he's saying there is that I have lived for you, O Lord. And you think about the concept there, he mentions his integrity, it means the same throughout. I know we hear the word integrity and we think that, you know, we think of honesty, trustworthiness, reliability, and all that's true, but that's really the application. The real definition of integrity is the same throughout. And what David is saying here is, God, is that I have tried to be the same throughout my life. If we were to apply it to our day, our time, our age, what he's saying is that, God, I have lived for you in my home, in my work, in my recreation, the same as I have tried to act like I want people to think I am in church, so to speak. The same throughout. That without, the outside, the outward aspects of my life, I have truly lived in devotion unto the Lord. Look at your life. Have you been the same, or have you sought to be the same throughout your life in all of those settings? Again, not just what you know, the image you may try to convey at church, but the way that you have honestly, sincerely tried to live with the family members in your home, your coworkers at work, those whom you're around in recreation, those that you're around just in buying and selling in the marketplace. We need to, in fact, live lives that are devoted to the Lord without. But not just without, but also as we look at this passage as well, we need to see it within. Think about what we see in verses 2 through 3. "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart for my loving kindness. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." David was devoted to the Lord from the innermost part of his heart. We need to be devoted to the Lord from the innermost part of our heart, from the innermost part of our being, our thoughts, our ideas, the desires of our heart, the meditations of our heart. You think with me, you know, just the past 24 hours, the past day, have the thoughts of your mind been thoughts that would be pleasing unto the Lord? Have the desires that you wanted be desires that would be pleasing unto the Lord? The attitudes that you've had, even if nobody else sees it, even if no one else can possibly guess it, even if the people who know you the best, who can usually read you like a book, even if they don't know, can't see, can't understand, from your heart out where nobody else sees but God, have you truly been devoted unto Him? Listen, from within and without, we need to live in a way that shows our devotion unto the Lord and is driven by our devotion for the Lord, that we want to be close to Him, that we love Him, we want to please Him. Within, from the depths of our heart, without, in every situation we find ourselves. We need to, in fact, live lives of devotion. But then notice what else we see with David. We also, not only do we need lives of devotion, but we need lives of separation. Now, we don't hear that word much anymore, don't use it much anymore, which is unfortunate. It's a biblical word and a crucial concept of our walk and our relationship with the Lord. Now, separation actually has two components, two halves, if you will. Though in many ways, the second half the first half that we'll talk about, while it's an absolute necessity, leads to an even more important second half. But you can't have the second one without the first one. Think about the first half with me. From. The separation from that which is sinful or wrong, that which is displeasing unto God. You think about what we see in verses 4 through 5. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. David, they're talking about his being separated from those who are evil. Now, he's not talking here about a witnessing relationship. He's not talking here about a relationship where he's trying to bring some straying believer back. But he's talking about he does not allow himself to be influenced by these individuals. And he separates himself from their sinful activities and ways and methods and just their sinful lifestyle, if you will. We do live in very evil days. And quite frankly, things today that are accepted as norm and becoming ever accepted day by day even more so, things that 10 years ago were hardly even discussed, or if they were, only in some sort of a theoretical sense. We need to be separated from the evil and the wickedness of this world, that we do not involve ourselves to it. Yes, we certainly try to witness. Yes, we try to bring back the straying sheep. But we don't allow them to adversely affect us and influence us and lead us away. And we must not join in with their sinful conduct and traits. We need separation from. But not only do we need separation from, but we need separation to. And you see, this is where I've mentioned before that separation, you know, you have two parts to it, two halves. And the second half is even more important, really, than the first half. The first half is a necessity, that separation from. But if all we do is have separation from, I don't do this, 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 and this, we have yet still missed the whole point. We need the separation unto. Remember, our Lord saved us to be in a relationship with Himself, and we need to be separated unto Him. Best illustration is that of marriage. You know, it's obvious that each of the two individuals, the man and the woman in the marriage, need to be separated from all others. I mean, that's an absolute necessity. But as commendable as it may be, if they separate from all others and live that way faithfully throughout their lives, as commendable as that is, they've missed the point of marriage if they don't step beyond that and separate unto each other and the two become one as the scriptures desire. And remember, God created marriage to be a picture of our illustration with Him. Yes, absolute necessity to separate from all those sinful things. But the idea is so that we can then separate unto the Lord and to be close to Him and in fact walk with Him. Think with me, look at your life. Are you walking in biblical separation? Again, we very seldom hear that word today. And quite frankly, when we do hear it, it's used by groups that their whole emphasis is on the first half, the from. And they have a whole list of things that they don't do. And yes, the separation from is absolutely essential. It is a prerequisite. It's the foundation. It's a necessity. Are you separating from? We're not going to diminish the importance to it, but then do you step beyond it and separate yourself unto the Lord and walk for Him and with Him and seek Him and follow Him and obey Him and, yes, love Him, going back to that concept of devotion? We need separation. But then, we also need the characteristic of fellowship. And by that again, I mean that closeness with our Lord. Listen again to verses 8 through 12. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hand is a wicked scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregation, I shall bless the Lord. Again, you see the themes repeated there, that of devotion and separation. But did you see the emphasis there, the references to the tabernacle and the place of worship? Of course, later on that would be the temple. But, you know, it was that place of worship, that place of seeking the Lord, that place, in fact, where they would hear from Him and would meet with Him. And yes, while in the Old Testament, we see it with the tabernacle and then the temple, you think of the wonderful teaching from the New Testament that we place our trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within, and we are actually made temples of God. God Himself dwells within us, and He desires for us to have a life where we worship Him, where we hear from Him, where we meet with Him, where we, in fact, have fellowship with Him. Remember, salvation is at its core a restored relationship with God. When God made man, He made him in His image and likeness, meaning that God made man to have a relationship with God. We lost that when we sinned against God in the garden, and the whole point of the redemption was to bring us back into that relationship so that we can, in fact, know God, walk with Him, and know His love. Are you seeking to walk in fellowship? And it is that fellowship that ought to be the joy and the driving force of our life. We've quoted it several times, but the Westminster Catechism, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That speaks of fellowship, that closeness of walking with Him. That ought to be the number one priority of our life. In fact, it is the rest of our life ought to come out of that relationship. The guidance and decisions that we make, the strength for facing whatever it is that we face, understanding what's taking place around us, it all comes out of that fellowship with Him. Are you prioritizing that? David, as he lived through very difficult days, you cannot honestly study the life of David and say the times in which he lived were the good old days. They weren't, the very difficult days. But you look at the fact that David lived in fellowship with the Lord. The book of Psalms is a testimony of that. David lived in devotion, in separation, and in fellowship. As we live in these evil days, and they truly are, and becoming more so every day, we need to live in devotion and separation and fellowship. Is that the way that you're living your life? Is that the way that you've gone through this day? Could it be that as you move past this at whatever point in the day you're watching it, could it be that you need to turn your heart toward the Lord and love and adore Him and seek Him and desire to follow Him, that devotion? Do you need to follow in separation? There might be some things you need to separate from, but truly separate yourself unto Him. And do you need to walk in fellowship, seeking the closeness with the Lord? Only through those can we truly walk as wise individuals in these evil days. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. O Lord God, Your Word, and Father, may we not just hear it, thank You for the understanding that You gave us. But, O Lord God, may we truly live it. Father, be with us throughout the rest of this day. O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you do have a wonderful rest of the day at whatever point you're watching this. And I hope as you go through that day that you truly live by devotion and separation and fellowship, and that you experience God's closeness as you live for Him.